Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Third hour, Darren Donica Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Friday afternoon. Chase, I know tonight at 6 o'clock is a big moment for you. We've been doing a lot of Zoom calls these days and a lot of Zoom interviews. And your Facebook Live / Zoom interview tonight will be at 6 o'clock?
Yes, with a guy that our next guest, Paul Byrd, knows quite well, but I'm excited. Tom Glavine going to join me on the Facebook Live, and I'd be lying. You know,
Are you going to go fanboy?
No, I'm not going to go fanboy. Ryan was joking with me today that I'd probably have my Braves jersey and hat on, and, you know, I'm not going to lie, I might have had a Braves hat on earlier, but it is exciting because I grew up watching Tom Glavine and those teams, and I remember when Paul Byrd was with the Braves too, and it's fun for me. So this is one of the cool perks of the job, and I'm excited about it. Gonna get him to tell some stories. And by the way, today is John Smoltz's birthday. So how fitting.
Well, there you go. Well, since I'm the one who gets to start this interview, I'm gonna introduce our guest the way that I want to. He's a Braves analyst for Fox Sports South. He's former Cleveland Indians pitcher Paul Byrd. He is on the line with us. Paul, how you doing?
What's up, guys? If I understood that introduction correctly, are you saying that Tom Glavine is a bigger guest than me?
No.
Chase, your answer.
Oh, okay, no. Good.
We're not saying that.
Appreciate that. I mean, I understand he played for the Braves longer, Hall of Fame and all that stuff, but I just, you know, my ego needed a little boost. So thanks for saying that, guys. I appreciate that.
What's a Hall of Fame amongst friends, Paul?
I love it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kind of... You know, it's funny because Glavine was my teammate, obviously, 97, 98. But I grew up, you know, in high school and college watching Glavine pitch. So it was kind of cool. You know, everybody watched the Cubs and the Braves in the 80s. And so, you know, great guy and now a teammate on the broadcast team. And as you said, Smoltz's birthday, everybody's watching the 95 NLCS stuff and World Series on our network, and it's been a lot of fun hearing the announcers, remembering a lot of those great plays and in the NLCS and the World Series, and it's been a time where old-time Braves baseball has been rekindled a little bit.
All now, three of us are baseball fans on this show, Paul, and you actually pitched for all three of our teams.
Yeah. We got Indians, Mets, and Braves.
There we go. Partial to all three, drafted by the Indians. Went full circle, came back, pitched in the playoffs for the Indians, and then got to the big leagues with the Mets and, you know, spent some good time with the Braves.
And I'm pretty sure your time at LSU, you had to have struck out Willie a couple of times at Vanderbilt back in the day. Willie, did Paul Byrd smoke you when you were at Vanderbilt?
Well, lucky for me, I was not in the lineup. We did face Paul twice.
Yeah,
those were my first couple years where I was pitching. No, I was going to say we did win one game. In fact, I got the win out of the bullpen, Paul. I don't know how well you remember. You guys won the national championship, so it was all good. For you guys, it's one of the most fun weekends I ever had as a baseball player because, as you know, it's a special place to play. I mean, every seat was full. It was a big deal every game. The 3-game series down there, we were happy to get one game. And you guys had three big league starters go on Friday and Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday,
I
should say.
That. Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, I really, our coach, Skip Bertman, was a legend, you know, and it wasn't just that he was a master on the field, but off the field as well. He was really good at getting a community to rally around college athletics. And Vanderbilt at the time hadn't reached that point. So I remember playing behind the football stadium. You know, foul balls would ricochet off the stadium, and you're just kind of wasn't a big deal. Now Vandy's like number one, you know, and it's really cool watching the transformation of other SEC parks follow along with what LSU and Mississippi State was originally. And I just love college sports. I love baseball in general. So it's nice to see everybody, you know, following suit. But, no, I never got those guys out from Vandy. They were too smart for me. They figured me out by the second or third inning and ran me out of the game. So, you know.
It is interesting, Paul, where Vanderbilt program – in fact, we had Tim Corbin on the show yesterday with the powerhouse that he has built at Vanderbilt. Yeah. And, you know, obviously compared to – it was nowhere near at that level when Willie was there in the early 90s. And then, you know, you're a guy that grew up, I believe, in Louisville. You went to St. X, right? St. Xavier?
I did. Yeah, yeah.
Because I grew up
– Absolutely.
I grew up in Lexington, so I'm familiar with the state. And – you know, you think about where – and you went to LSU, which was a powerhouse program.
Yeah.
Still are,
yeah.
but definitely back then, for sure, that was the place to be. But now you look at this Louisville baseball program, and it's been just like Vanderbilt. It's also been a powerhouse.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, having a good coach, having somebody that's their passion, you know, you get the right players in. The next thing you know, the community rallies around a team because – you know, pro baseball is great. I love pro baseball. But in college athletics, you can get a little closer to the players. You know, you can start to, what's the right word, just, I guess, connect with them a little bit more, seeing them go through the struggle. And then, you know, they're gone after a couple of years. And so you start to rally around that university. Same things happen with Louisville. That used to be that field they used to play. And instead of Vandy, where the football stadium was, they played where underneath an overpass. So when you hit a foul ball, you know, it's ricocheting off an expressway. And now they have a new stadium, you know, tremendous coaches now. And, you know, Dan McDonald's one of my favorite. I've gone back and spoken to those teams. And he's done a great job. So it just shows that you don't have to play in the South. Like when I grew up in Kentucky, my dad says, son, we're whiskey, basketball, and horse racing. If you want to play baseball, you're going to have to go somewhere else. Those days are over, you know. Kentucky,
Vanderbilt, Louisville, yeah.
Other programs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got good stadiums and good fans that have rallied around the game. And, again, I love college athletics, as you can tell. So it's been neat to see that transformation happen over the years.
Yeah, well said. You know, we're all wondering, you know, NBA, Major League Baseball starting their season, the NHL, you know, what's next as NASCAR – gets cranked up for the first time this weekend. Other things are starting to come back, but I guess my biggest concern, Paul, is if more players have the same feelings as Blake Snell of the Rays, I don't know how they're going to come back because I don't think they're going to get full pay for half of a season. What did you make of his remarks?
I understood his remarks. I thought his delivery seemed off to me, a little calloused. And, you know, we are baseball players. We're competitors. Some of us are mean, and that gets it done on the field. We're not great PR speakers at times, and so it can come across a little arrogant or a little calloused. I would say that to him if I was sitting right next to him. I do understand the content of what he was saying, being concerned about safety. I have talked to other players, and we are in an era of a virus that we just don't know. You know, we really don't. And so, you know, I'm not saying players should get full pay. I think both the ownership and the players should do whatever it takes to get out on the field because I think baseball is super important for America. But I do understand his concerns about safety. And, you know, if you get a virus and, you know, you lose, and again, this comes back into we don't know what's going to happen. But if you get the virus and you recover, are your lungs damaged permanently, 10, 20%, 0%? There's things that we don't know. So players have talked about safety. There's going to be a, whenever it happens, a rush. You know, they're talking about mid-June and playing in July, not with fans. And if that happens, you know, there's going to be a rush to get ready in spring training. So, you know, there's some things that certainly need to be considered and, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but I think baseball is important for America, and I would like to see both sides negotiate with that in mind.
We're talking to Paul Byrd, former pitcher, and now with Fox Sports South as he covers the Atlanta Braves, one of his former teams. And Paul, I want to ask you about, in light of our college baseball conversation, the fact that the draft is going to be five rounds. I'm looking, you were a fourth-round pick. I'm sure tons of your teammates for LSU were drafted in various rounds. And now, I mean, I was drafted in the 25th round. So I think about what's in store. First, let's take this part of it. How do you think it will affect college baseball, first and foremost?
Well, you know, I'm guessing here, but, you know, college baseball, I love how guys are getting an extra year of eligibility. I think it's not going to hurt the pitchers as much as it will the hitters. I can just tell you, and I don't mean to scare anybody, but hitting is the hardest thing to do in all sports. And I think it will affect some players in that when you take a year off from seeing live pitching, you go backwards. And the pitchers don't go backwards, but the hitters do. So I think the hitters are going to need to really, really, you know, hopefully, you know, everything's ready to go by the fall. I don't want to make assumptions, but, you know, we'll really have to work hard in the fall to get back on track. As far as the draft goes, something that's really unusual about baseball is in the NFL or, you know, basketball and the NBA, when you draft a guy in the first round, he's a pick. You know, in the second round, he may or may not be. And then when you get to the fifth or sixth round, there's those Cinderella stories like Joe Montana and others. But the bottom line is, in baseball, Albert Pujols went in the 12th. Mike Piazza went in the 64th or whatever. There's those stories all over the board. Baseball is so hard to predict an athlete's future. So they can sign somebody else as a free agent if they don't draft them in the top five rounds. But baseball, more so than others, you know, you're going to have a lot of players who I just fear will get overlooked. And that made me sad. I don't have the answer to that one. I would like to see, you know, the draft go deeper, longer than five rounds. But unfortunately, it is what it is, and there's going to be some free agent signings. CJ Nitkowski had a great tweet. If you guys don't know him, he's a broadcaster for the Rangers. He used to play for the Braves. He analyzed the draft, and he had an example of, you know, of the college players, 40% came after the fifth round that were in the big leagues. That's a huge number. And so I think there's going to be people that are left out, and that's a little sad for me.
Another aspect that they're talking about pretty seriously here, Paul, and I wonder what this will look like, is if they chop off some of the lower levels of the minor leagues. Now, I think you move through pretty quick, but I would have to think that there's a lot of people that benefited greatly from being able to almost fail for a while in the first couple levels before they really got to the point. So I kind of shudder to think, you know, from all kinds of different angles, what it would be like without, you know, however many teams they're thinking about lopping off here, because I don't like the idea at all.
I don't either. And, you know, like college baseball, the minor league baseball is fantastic. You can get closer to the players. You see guys struggle. You see guys figure it out. You watch them and follow them to the big leagues. And, you know, when I send something out on Twitter or we talk, there's always fans that get back to me and they go, you know, I saw him in A-ball, Jermaine Dye, happen the other day, and he hit a ball 500 feet, and I was there with my grandpa. And, you know, it's like there's things like that that happen, that minor league baseball is just a wonderful place to go see future big league players and have experiences and moments socially with family members and friends and others that you can't get at the big league level. And that happens in nowhere Montana or, you know, where you can't really get to a big league field all the time. So I'm upset that they're taking some of those major league teams away. And guys, my son plays for the Cubs. He's in the minor leagues with the Cubs, played for Eugene last year. You know, and
Pioneer League? Is that the Pioneer League, Paul?
I believe so. It's up in Oregon, yeah. And so they even go up into Canada. And man, when I went to that stadium, I mean, it was awesome. There's mountains in the background. The whole team rallies around the Eugene Emeralds. And, you know, the on-the-field antics they had between innings were incredible. You know, all the kids are running across left field to right field, chasing the mascot. And the next thing you know, a guy comes out on a four-wheeler and that's minor league ball, and there's something beautiful about that, and I hate that that has been being dwindled away. So I agree with you. It's unfortunate, and we'll see.
Yeah, and I think the other point that that you tossed in there that I think is very important is it's so meaningful for those small towns to have that team in the summer, right? And and if that's gone, that makes a big mark on that town. That's a big time bummer.
No, I agree 100%. You know, not just jobs, but you know what certain towns are known for. And David Bodie, who's with the Cubs now and signed a multi-year deal for a lot of money last year, he repeated low A twice. You know, so baseball is a game where sometimes you just figure it out later. It's not easy to pitch. It's not easy to hit. And sometimes somebody figures something out. The guy that you're going to talk to, Tom Glavin, later today, who's my teammate, a big fan of, when he got to the big leagues, he struggled. And then he was on the bucket in the outfield during batting practice, and a ball's hit out there, and he's shagging just like all the pitchers do. And he reaches down to pick up a ball out of the grass, and he was a little off, and he picked it up with his end three fingers, and he threw it in to the bucket like that instead of getting a fastball grip. And he said, man, that felt pretty good. I wonder if I can throw my changeup that way. And the next thing you know, he's got one of the best changeups in the game after working with Leo. And that changed his whole career. So you never know when somebody is going to figure something out in baseball, whether it's a mechanical adjustment with their swing, you know, or something pitching-wise, and be a superstar. So I don't like the fact that they are taking away time from players and great places to play in the United States. It's a travesty to me.
Paul Byrd is with us, analyst for Fox Sports South and the Atlanta Braves, and former Brave, former Indian, former Met. He's got this show covered. But I do want to ask you, as you mentioned, Fox Sports has been showing, you know, the 95 World Series. I watched the 99 NLCS last night, and just some of these games with, you know, those teams of the 90s. What it was like for you when you joined in 1997? I mean, you're right there in the middle of all this, this tremendous run, and we saw some roster turnover, but then you had the big three and Chipper and others that were part of that. So what was it like for you when you arrived in Atlanta to join such a talented group?
You know, I was blessed to have played with such a great team and arguably one of the greatest rotations, if not the greatest rotation ever assembled. If you look at just numbers and Hall of Fame credentials and things like that. But when I got there to Atlanta, you know, from the Mets, there was this huge mystique, you know, about the Braves and, you know, this aura around them, if you will. And it was crazy because, you know, we had an entourage that followed us everywhere. You'd get in at 2 a.m. to a hotel and there would be a ton of fans, you know, waiting for autographs. Maddox, for whatever reason, could get off the bus and walk right through the crowd. Chipper and Smoltzy, no way. You know, they got mobbed. And it was just kind of fun to meet those guys and see the way they went about their business. They were all different. I learned a lot from all of them, and they all had unique personalities. I loved how they competed against each other, but they also helped each other. You know, I'm talking about the staff. It was kind of like The Last Dance, you know, watching Michael Jordan on Netflix, how competitive he was. They were the same way. You know, they would compete and play golf and compete and play cards and then compete on the mound, but they would always help each other when it came time to figure out how to get a hitter out or do what was best for the team. And I admire that. And, you know, Smoltzy was a clown. I'll never forget when I got to West Palm Beach and I'm like, man, that's John Smoltz. He just won the Cy Young. What a stud, you know, postseason hero. And we're running, you know, sprints in the outfield poles. So you run from the right field foul pole to the left field foul pole in the warning track. And there's, you know, it had rained. So there's these puddles on the ground and he's trying to step on every puddle and splash everybody. And he's like a little kid. And I thought, man, this is the big tough guy I've been watching in the playoffs. This guy's an absolute clown. So it was fun to get to know some of those guys on that level.
Paul, one of the things about those guys is you could take their stats and they would look great in any era, But the era that you pitched in and they pitched in largely was a tough era for pitchers, right? We know why in retrospect, you know, the steroids and all that stuff. But give me your perspective on pitching in that era where, I mean, it was hard. If you put up an ERA under four, you were doing a heck of a job there. And you weren't a guy that, you know, had the 98, 99 mile an hour fastball. So what was that like just to learn how to pitch and survive for as long as you did during that time?
Yeah, I think, you know, and we're getting back to that now with the changing of the baseball, you know, where the balls just, they go further, whether or not you were enhanced, you know, biologically or whether or not the baseball is enhanced, the pitcher has the same problem keeping the ball in the park. And so you have to be creative. You have to hit your spots. You have to have movement. And, you know, it wasn't easy, but, you know, when I got a chance to work with guys like Maddox and Leo Mazzoni was the first pitching coach that ever, ever, ever told me, do not try to throw the ball as hard as you can. Velocity does not get people out. You know, location gets people out. Movement gets people out. Throwing the right pitch gets people out. Having quality pitches and assortment of those pitches gets people out. Then I learned. And I do still think that those qualities, I do still know that those qualities get hitters out in any generation. The problem is if you don't do those things and you make a lot of mistakes, you're going to get hurt and going to get hurt quickly. And that's the thing back then and now, if you didn't do those things, the game could get out of hand really quickly. And, you know, after they cleaned up the game and they did start doing PED testing and they required doctor's notes and they said, you know, you can no longer take those kinds of performance enhancing drugs. There was a little bit of fall off in offense until they changed the baseballs. And like I said, now you have those kinds of things again, where you just simply have to pitch and lower your amount of mistakes.
Do you feel like with this Braves team and whenever the season starts, and I'm going to say when, not if, when the season starts, but do you feel like that the building that has been done over the last few years is finally to the point of paying off? We saw the playoffs last year and the talented team that they have, but that this team could actually be one that makes a run for it with what they've built both offensively and with pitching?
Yeah, they're going to – this is, you know, I would be shocked if they don't make a 10 to 15 year run over and over again. I say that for a number of reasons. You have guys like Acuna, Albies, who are locked up for, you know, 6-7 years, who are some of the best young players in the game, along with Soto and a couple others, a Bellinger. You have some guys like that who are just impact players. And I hate comparing, you know, hey, he's Andrew Jones or he's Roberto Clemente or whatever. I've never seen a talent like Ronald Acuna that's had all of those tools together. So not only are they great players, but they're really fun and exciting to watch, and they're that good. I do think that pitching wins long-term. That's what I have seen, and regardless of PEDs or changing the baseballs or anything like that, good pitching wins. And they have guys like that, like Freed, who are young, who got a lot of miles left on the arm. Soroka is a Maddox-esque pitcher. I've never seen anybody that's polished as well as he is at that young an age. He pitches like he's in his prime when he's 31 years old, and yet he's in his early 20s and has just been fantastic. So they certainly have the right ingredients. I haven't even mentioned the fact that they have veterans like Freddie Freeman, who are great leaders, teach people how to act, how to go about their business. So they have the right type of people. And with what they did at the Battery, the revenue that they're going to have to spend and go acquire a free agent or continue to pay some of their really good young players who you have to do after a couple years is in place as well. So I think they're set up to be a long-term team that's always going to contend. And guys, I'm in the business of entertainment. You know it. And the fact that they are fun to watch, are passionate about baseball, they harass each other in the dugout, they give good interviews, just makes my job way, way better, and I think that's an important part of the game too.
No doubt about it, and there's a lot of people here in Nashville that make the trek down, including the three of us and our families, and it's a fantastic park, and as you said, the Battery, the setup around it is just awesome.
Yes, absolutely.
And Paul,
Nashville, man, I love that town as well. So I come up there. My agent is from Nashville, and I think it's a phenomenal place too. So I love that there's Braves fans up there, and it's a good thing going.
Oh, there's a lot. Do you get up here much?
I do. I'm from, as you all know, Louisville, Kentucky. So I always stop in Nashville a lot,
sure.
Whether to, see my agent and or hang out a little bit, have some friends, and it's a great place. And it is not what the show's about, but we used to own a little bit of land in Middle Tennessee, so we'd always stop, in Nashville and go to different places, and I'm astounded at how much Nashville has taken off in the last 10 years. It's crazy. I don't know how y'all do it.
Well, who knows, Paul?
Everybody wants to move to Nashville.
Well, including maybe Major League Baseball down the road. So who knows? You may have stops in Nashville 5-10 years from now. Who knows? Paul, really appreciate the visit. Continue to be safe down in Atlanta. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Great show, guys. We'll talk to you soon. See you.
All right. That is Paul Bird, former big league pitcher, now a Braves analyst for Fox Sports South, and that was a lot of fun with him. We will come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.